Okay, opposed? Motion passes. Okay, thanks. Now, go until 1.
Madam Chair, I will move on to the Clean Water Council, and this one there is more changes in the Outdoor Heritage Fund, so I might just run through it line by line if that is okay with you.
Yes.
On line 114, there's pesticide monitoring and water assessment, and this recommendation is a biennium total of $700,000. Line 115, nitrate monitoring in groundwater, the bill will provide $5 million for the biennium. Line 117, the Ag BMP loan program will receive $400,000. Line 118, the research evaluation non-point is $3 million. And I think the descriptions in the bill for this are a little better on this area. Line 119, research evaluation for BMPs is $2,100,000. Line 120, research evaluation, and this says database, is $250,000. Line 121, agricultural water quality certification, is $3 million for the biennium. We have on line 122, manure applicator education, that is $100,000 for the biennium. And line 123, irrigation water quality specialist, will be $220,000 for the biennium. The total appropriation for the Department of Agriculture for the biennium is $14,770,000. For Public Facilities Authority, the TMDL grants program will receive...
A little bit slower, please.
Slower?
It's slower.
Of course, Madam Chair. Line 127, TMDL grants program will receive $18 million for the biennium. And then 129, the small community wastewater treatment program will receive $4 million. For a total for the Public Facilities Authority of $22 million. The Pollution Control Agency is next. On line 133, for water quality assessment and monitoring, the bill will provide $14 million over the biennium. Line 134, research on expanded contaminants of new concern is $1 million for the biennium. There's line 135, the Red River Watch Program will receive $200,000. Line 136, monitoring assessment of unregulated contaminants will receive $18,800,000. Line 137, TMDL development will receive $2,250,000. Line 130.
I'm sorry, 138 didn't seem to follow with.
Oh, maybe I'm off the line here. Sorry.
Okay, 130, starting from 136.
Starting from 136. Okay, yes, I did misspoke. Yeah. Line 136, we are not appropriating money for. Line 137, the TMDL development, is the $18,800,000. Line 138, groundwater assessment protection, is $2,250,000. Line 139, St. Louis River Duluth Harbor cleanup, is $1.5 million. Line 140, Clean Water Partnership grants will receive $3 million. Line 141, Stormwater Research and Guidance, is $550,000. Line 142 is TMDL Research Database, is $2,300,000. Line 143, Interagency Water Data Portal, is $2 million over the biennium. Line 144, National Pollutant Discharge System, is $1,800,000. Line 145, we are not appropriating any money to application of water standards. Line 146, there is no appropriation. Line 147, there is no appropriation. Line 148, Drinking Water Protection, SSTS, and that is $6,900,000. Line 149, Stormwater BMP Performance Evaluation Technology Transfer, is $1.5 million. And then if you skip down a couple, it's line 151, Wastewater Treatment System Design, Practice, and Technical Assistance, is $750,000. Line 152, Expand Water Quality and Monitoring in the Red River Watershed, there's no appropriation for that. The next appropriation, I guess, is on line 155. It's the Clean Water Council Administrative Costs, and that's $80,000 for the biennium. The total appropriation for the Pollution Control Agency over the biennium is $56,630,000.
Are there any questions about...
Madam Chair, that is... There's more in the Clean Water Fund, like me to finish that first.
Sure.
Or,
yes.
Okay. The next up is the Department of Natural Resources, line 159. We have streamflow monitoring will be $4 million for the biennium. Line 160, lake index of biological integrity assessments is $2.6 million for the biennium. Line 161, assessing mercury contamination in fish is $270,000. Line 162, TMDL development and implementation impaired waters is $3,700,000. Line 163, water supply planning, protection, and monitoring is $2,750,000. The next appropriation is on line 165, non-point source restoration and protection is $2 million. Line 167, applied research tools, BMVs, is $1,350,000. The next appropriation is 171, County Geological Atlas Survey, which there's a component of this with the U of M as well, but the DNR portion is $1,230,000. There's line 172, design water access site best management practices is $85,000. Line 173, development and designation of groundwater management areas is $1 million. Line 174, grants to local units of government to restore and enhance riparian areas is $1 million for the biennium. Line 175, DNR rulemaking, $100,000. The total appropriation for the Department of Natural Resources is $22,085,000. And the next agency is the Board of Water and Soil Resources. Line 181, we have surface and drinking water grants. The total for the biennium is $20,461,000. The next appropriation is on line 183, grants to protect, enhance, and restore water quality is $12 million. Line 184, targeted resource protection and enhancement grants, $8 million. The next appropriation is on line 186, measures, results, and accountability, $1.9 million. Line 187, targeted non-point restoration technical assistance is $3.4 million. Line 188, riparian buffer easements is $13 million. Line 189, wellhead protection areas received $2.6 million. Line 190, Community Partners Clean Water Program is $3 million. Line 191, Technical Evaluation Panel for Restorations is $168,000. Line 192, Watershed Management Transition is $900,000. The total appropriation for the Board of Water and Soil Resources is $65,429,000. Next is the Department of Health. On line 198, we have drinking water contaminants, $2,300,000. Line 199, source water protection and preservation is $3,230,000. Line 200, cost share assistance, well sealing is $500,000. Line 201, county well index is $780,000. Line 202, private well water supply protection is $650,000. Line 203, Lake Superior beach monitoring receives $210,000. The last appropriation for the Department of Health is groundwater virus monitoring plan is $1.6 million. The total appropriation for the Department of Health is $9,270,000. And then continue on the fifth page of the document, the spreadsheet. We start with the Metropolitan Council, line 209, Master Water Supply Planning. There's no appropriation there, sorry. The first appropriation for the Met Council is line 212. It's inflow and infiltration reduction programs, and it's $1 million for the biennium. There is investigation of groundwater and surface water interaction in and around White Bear Lake, $537,000. Line 214, Metropolitan Regional Groundwater Planning is $2 million. The total appropriation for the Metropolitan Council is $3,537,000. The University of Minnesota on line 219 is Aquatic Invasive Species Cooperative Research line 220, the County Geologic Atlas. I thought the description went to the same thing, but it's County Geologic Atlas on line 220 receives $615,000 per year, $1.23 million for the biennium. That's the other component of the one I mentioned earlier. And then there is $15,000 per year for the Clean Water Council for the public information website for their cost share on that. The total appropriation from the Clean Water Fund is $97,301,000 in the first year and $97,680,000 in the second year for a total of
$194,981,000. Okay. That finishes Clean Water. Are there any questions from committee members or staff?
Madam Chair, I will continue with Article 3, the Parks and Trails Fund. The Department of Natural Resources for state parks, recreation areas, and trails will receive a total of $33,774,000 for the biennium. We go continue on to the next page. There's a number of spaces in there at various points. The House language provided for individual parks and trails and things like that, and that's why there's so many spaces between the appropriations. If you go to line 277, there's grants to parks and trails of regional or statewide significance outside the metropolitan area. The total for the biennium for that will be $7,611,000. And then also going to the greater grants to parks and trails of regional or statewide significance outside the metropolitan area with specifications of individual projects is another $9,276,000. I'll just skip past the individual projects at this point if that's okay. There's two different components of, if you look at line 296 and 297, there's money provided for collaboration between the three implementing agencies, and that's where you find those appropriations. They have $204,000 for the biennium and $203,000 for the biennium going to the two different agencies. The total parks and trails appropriation for the biennium is $51,068,000.
Are there any questions? Are there any questions on that?
Madam Chair, I'll let the other fiscal analyst, Helen Roberts, do Article 4.
Okay. Let the Senate do this one?
Okay. Sure. You want Dan to do it or you want Helen to do it? What do you want?
What? Okay. Ms. Roberts.
Madam Chair and members, beginning on page 7, for the Board of the Arts, for the Arts Board, the total appropriation is $53.35 million, and that's an increase from the House position and a reduction from the Senate position. For the Department of Education, on line 344, the grants to regional libraries, the funding level is at $6 million. Moving on to page 8, for the Minnesota Historical Society, the total funding is $27.875 million. This includes $11.2 million per year each for the statewide historic and cultural grants and the statewide history programs. There's also $4 million in for the history partnerships, and then additional funding for the statewide survey, the digital library, $25,000 one time for the American Civil War and Dakota conflict exhibit, and then there is $125,000 in the Historical Society for Civics Education Competitive Grants, and these formerly were in the Humanities Commission in previous years. Under
previous versions of the bill, but in previous years it was in the Historical Society.
Moving on to the Department of Administration, the total funding is $18.53 million. This includes $7.9 million for Minnesota Public TV, $3 million for Minnesota Public Radio, and $3.3 million for the Amper stations. also included, you'll see the funding for the zoos, $1 million for the Como Zoo, $300,000 for the Lake Superior Zoo, and $200,000 one-time funding for the Lake Superior Aquarium exhibit on shipwrecks. The Science Museum is funded at $2.2 million. $400,000 one-time funding is included for the Minnesota African American Museum, $75,000 each year for the small theater grants, and then $80,000 one-time for the Veterans Memorials and Parks. Moving on to line 381, the Minnesota Zoo, the funding is $3.5 million. This was the same level funding as both the House and Senate had. We'll move down to the Humanities Center. The Humanities Center itself receives $850,000 for program development, which includes the Voices for Veterans program. Also included in this funding is funding for the various children's museums, including $1 million for the Minnesota Children's Museum, and then $400,000 for Duluth Museum, $400,000 for Duluth, $200,000 for Grand Rapids Children's Museum, and $400,000 for the Southern Minnesota Children's Museum. And finally, included in the Humanities Center is $400,000 for the Minnesota Council on Disabilities, the 25th anniversary of the ADA. Moving down towards the bottom of the page, on line 397 is the funding for the Purpich Center for the Arts, and this is at $1.545 million for the biennium. And finally, at the bottom of the page, you'll see that there isn't any funding included for the Department of Agriculture because I believe this funding was in the environment bill or some related funding. On the final page, you'll see the funding for the Indian Affairs Council, a total of $1.9 million. This includes funding for the language immersion schools and also competitive grants. And like the other funds, there's funding for the LCC Legacy website at a total of $18 million for the biennium. So the total appropriations from the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund are $115.9 million for the biennium.
Any question? Senator Cohen?
Sure. Good.
We'll see if there are any questions. Any questions? Okay. Senator Cohen?
Well, Madam Chair, I want to make a motion to adopt the spreadsheet. It appears to be in order. Let me just make a couple of comments, if I might. We've had some detailing of obviously what's in the spreadsheet and some detailing of what has changed with some of the offers going back and forth. I do want to make it clear to everyone who's here, and I think the folks who are in the room right now would certainly have a good sense of what's taken place. But at approximately 4 o'clock this afternoon, there was a meeting with the governor, Speaker Thiessen, and Majority Leader Bach. And they had a discussion about some of the major differences between the House and the Senate, and certainly that's been going on throughout these last couple of weeks, where the governor and the two leaders have met relative to some of the major differences. What was agreed to in that meeting and then proposed for adoption with the spreadsheet and appropriate language were several things. The first was relative to the Lessard Council. Was the inclusion of two proposals at the request of the House for the Metro Habitat and the Aquatic Invasive Species appropriations. What was agreed to in that meeting was that there would be no funding in the second year of the biennium. So there's a movement between the House and the Senate relative to where the respective positions were of each body, but that was an agreement reached between the three. Second part of the agreement was relative to the issues in terms of the Metro Parks. We had reached an agreement in terms of the division between the three parts of the park section. But there was some position, I think, Madam Chair of the House was certainly that it was appropriate to specify where this work ought to be done for a variety of reasons, Madam Chair, as you've articulated previously. And the leadership group accepted the House request relative to the metro parks and the regional parks, but the leadership group did not accept the House proposal relative to the state parks. Additionally, earlier today, the affected agencies relative to the Clean Water Fund had put together a proposal that was an amalgamation between the House and Senate positions in terms of clean water. And it was a complete proposal. Informally, Madam Chair, you and I and I think some of your conferees, my conferees, were apparently all in bed last night. I'm not sure why, but this morning, that's correct. Some of the representatives from the agencies spent some time with us, expressed some of their concerns and thoughts, and in the process put together a spreadsheet relative to only Article 2 of the bill. And another part of the leadership agreement was that that spreadsheet would be adopted with a couple of small changes. I think it was an additional $1 million in groundwater protection. The last piece of the leadership meeting, and I think, Madam Chair, you and I had kind of arrived at that, absent that group, was relative to the Arts and Culture Fund, where in state statute there would be 47% provided of that particular fund to the State Arts Board, the Regional Arts Councils, but that percentage would go into effect for the next biennium. And I want to make it clear to folks, both conferees as well as folks in the room, that this parts of this, maybe we might have arrived at that, but certainly, again, as has happened with other conference committees, there has been that help from the governor and the leaders. Obviously, a couple of these issues are quite contentious, and I want to make sure everybody has a full appreciation, understand what's happened. I hope, Madam Chair, I haven't misstated any of that.
That's pretty good. I understand Brad says he needs to make two minor oral corrections before adoptions. Mr. Hagerman?
Yep. Madam Chair, there are two corrections I'd like to make to the spreadsheet before we adopt it. On the second page, line 79, you know, those lines appear not to be in order. The protect aquatic habitat from Asian carp, it shouldn't be Asian carp. It should be aquatic invasive species. I just wanted to specify that it wasn't restricted to Asian carp. And then the next correction, Madam Chair, is on line, on page 4, line 182, grants to watersheds with multi-year plans. The right line right below that, grants to protect, enhance, and restore water quality. The appropriation on line 183 actually belongs on line 182 with the description grants to watersheds with multi-year plans should be $5 million. And $7 million the second year. And the appropriation on line 183 should be zero and zero. And Madam Chair, I believe the Senate fiscal analyst has another correction to make.
Yeah. Madam Chair, on line 149 on page 3, we should probably clarify that description. Let's call it National Park Water Quality Protection Program or Grant.
National
Park Water Quality Protection Grant.
I'm sorry, what line is it?
On line 149.
And Madam Chair, I guess there's one other very minor thing.
So the title of that on the spreadsheet is what gets changed. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
On the second page, on line 98, there is no subtotal or biennial total for Metropolitan Council. It should just be $6.3 million.
Oh, okay.
Madam Chair.
Senator Tillich.
Madam Chair, Senator Saxhog has raised a question privately with me, and that is apparently a concern expressed by the Lessard Council. And I don't know if Mr. Becker's here, if somebody else may.
Could we have somebody from the Lessard Sam's Outdoor Heritage Council staff talk about recommendations made during this process? Heather Coop would be great.
Ms. Coop.
Madam Chair. Senator Saxhock.
Bring up your camera.
Yeah. Is that are our mics on? Yeah, there.
Could be.
Yes.
Get closer to it.
Okay. What would you like information?
Well, when I started out today, I see per the recommendations that we have and are about to approve or disapprove on the Sergeant Sam's Outdoor Heritage Council. Is there any process that you went through on either this 6.3 million or the AIS, and was there some other alternatives that were discussed too?
Senator Saxhog, Madam Chair, as Mr. Becker testified the other day, we did receive a proposal from the Metropolitan Council for a funding request for Metropolitan Parks. We did not receive an application from any entity for aquatic invasive species program.
Senator Saxhog, both of those were added, were in the initial House bill, and along with several other things, including a major two-year funding for the council. And I guess the compromise in adopting this conference committee was to accept those two parts, but put them only in the first year, and then not to accept the biennial, the extension to a biennium, and not to accept the appropriations that were all made in the second year of the biennium. Senator Ingridson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Ms. Coop, being a member of the Outdoor Heritage, I do remember the request from the Metro Parks. And maybe you can give a little bit of a background as to how parks have been dealt with in the past on Lessard Sam's as far as recommendations. I can certainly speak on behalf of the Lessard group, but I don't know that you were here for the first year, but I know the first year we had heard all parks. We heard everything that came before, all proposals that came, and as a group we agreed to hear parks at that time. But as a collective group, we also agreed that we weren't going to fund any park projects, restoration, or acquisition. I don't know that we've held 100% to that over the years, but I'm just wondering if you recall any of these particular types of funds ever funded before by Lessard. I'm talking the $6.3 million for the Metropolitan Regional Parks, which is on line, I guess it's line 50. I'm going to have to say 54 and a half. It's between 54 and 55 there, but $6.3 million.
Madam Chair, Senator Ingebretson, we have never received another proposal after the first year to fund solely Metropolitan Parks, but there have been a number of other proposals that contained park projects within them that have been funded in the metropolitan area.
Senator
Ingridson? Madam Chair, Senator Cohen has moved the I'd like to make it some remarks here before we vote on that.
Okay, Senator okay. Ingridson.
Madam Chair and Senator Cohen, I just want to thank the senator and the chairman for the work they've done on this, and especially Senator Cohen for the tireless hours that he has put in on this, trying to negotiate what I think was a pretty good Senate position. Let me give you, Madam Chair and members, for those that don't know, I've been on the
Senator Ingritson, yes. Considering that he prevailed against an excellent House position, he did a really good job.
Okay, all right. You may think that, Madam Chair, but let me finish my statement if I could. I don't agree with that, and let me tell you why. I'm going to give you a little bit of a history, and I know Senator Cohen is, and you as well, Madam Chair, have got a lot of history with us. You went back a lot further than I have, and the history that I bring, of course, is coming in 2007, working with that at that time in the Senate side, Senator Chaudhry, and putting together the council position. In fact, I do recall an amendment on the floor that actually mirrored that, I think, of the Arts Board. I think we used the same type of consistency with the Arts Board, and that was done actually before the 2008, maybe it was the 2008 election, when the voters came to the booth and actually voted for this, I think the Senate was quite proud that we had this ready to go. We Senate and the House had this ready to go, that we, as soon as we hit the ground, if it were to pass, we'd have something in place. The hunting and fishing and sporting groups had worked very hard for this, and as it came to pass, it did happen. And going a little further back, actually, and naming the council, not knowing Senator Sard at the time, but the tireless hours and years that he worked on this, The senator that I actually ran against and defeated, the late Dallas Sams, we were in the process of naming this council, and one would think, gee whiz, maybe Senator Ingebrigtsen would have a problem with that, and I didn't. I didn't for a simple reason, that because Dallas Sams, who I replaced, worked very, very hard on this, and I know he did. And I didn't step in the way of that, and that's neither here nor there to anybody else, but it just gives you a little bit of the background, and I know we're getting into an area here of history occasionally, but that's the background that I bring, and I was selected by the majority leader, Poga Miller, at that time, the first year to be on the council, and I've served since. And as I asked Ms. Coop earlier, that we did, in fact, the first go-around of that council, with tireless amounts of hours, take all the proposals that came forward, including parks. And we agreed to do that, and we also were quite clear as to, at the end of those proposals, why we did not pick them and why we did not select them, because there was an arts portion that was also voted in 2008, and we thought it would be better funded. Those parks projects would be better funded through, obviously, the parks portion. And that's how we've approached it. As she said, we have had some projects, very few, but nothing to this magnitude that has been agreed upon here, that's about to be agreed upon tonight. I know that there was some negotiations going on. I wasn't part of that. I'm in the minority, and I know exactly where my place is in the minority. But I do know that our governor, along with the governor before him, has also always went along with the recommendations from the Lasard Sams within a tweak here and there. And I think that's a fair statement. Why did we do that? Because we put these commissions together that geographically represent all of Minnesota, sportsmen, and I think in general we've done a good job with that. We've got some people that really care and know their business, and if you spend any time there, you know the expertise that these citizens actually bring to this committee, and the various legislators that Representative McNamara, myself, and Senator Saxog, and others, Lily, Representative Lily that sits on it now, have probably learned an awful lot from those folks because they know exactly what they're doing. But folks, I'm very disgusted I'm not very happy with the $6 million appropriation. I know it's coming off the bottom line. The 5% is normally what we end up with and have tried to stay within that budget for years, and now we're down to 2%, taking money off the bottom line and funding something that if it does happen, I think we're going to be setting a precedent that probably is going to be probably endless in nature. That's my fear. And aquatic invasive species, we have dealt with that in the past. We being the Lasard Sams, has funded, I know, Emerald Ash Borer, the first go-around. That was one of the, I think, the tweaks, if you will, during the Pawlenty administration. And we did actually go with the recommendations of the legislature on that. And last year, I think the difference was is we went with the Northwoods project, and we actually stopped that because we didn't know exactly what it was going to cost. It was a good project, but as it turned out, we ended up funding it, and that was really the only stopgap or problem that we had last year that I recall as far as the appropriations. So, members, I'm not going to vote for this. I don't think I'll be signing the conference committee if it comes out to this. This particular vote, because of my stand for the sportsmen here and what has been going on for the years, and $6.3 million. Yes, you might have some habitat in the metro parks, but one of the things that generally you can't do there is hunt, as we have tried to keep on track with hunting and fishing, and I know that's for acquisition ports and portions, and I understand that, but. As Senator Cohen said, we don't want pheasant hunting in our neighborhoods, I don't think, in the metro area, and certainly not in the metro parks. We do have an occasional deer hunt, I know that, on special permits. So, but I think we strayed away from the intent of the legislation and the intent of the voter when it comes to Lasard Sams, Article 1 here, and I'll be voting against these recommendations, and I'll carry that same message to my caucus. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator Ingersoll. Are there any other comments from the Senator Sachs?
Well, thank you, Madam Chair, and I'm disappointed in these recommendations for Lasard Sams too, because I think Lasard Sams has done a great job of coming up with the recommendations with the financial prudence of reserves and making sure that we have enough money to do what we need to do. We have some excellent, in fact, this year, I'm sure you've seen, we have some excellent metro projects and of course the projects go throughout the state. But unlike Senator Ingebrigtsen, who I serve with on Lasard Sams, I probably am going to vote for this and hope that those people that for some reason don't think Lasard Sams and our process can get it done, I would hope that you'd give us a try. You know that we're in the process right now of our application period. It goes on an annual basis. We were able to react quickly to what needs to be done. So rather than putting up projects that aren't necessarily researched and done with the intensity that we do at Lasard Sams, I would hope that you give our process a try. And with that, I will vote for the recommendation.
Senator Cole.
Well, Madam Chair, I'd move adoption of the spreadsheet, and I offered a detailing of what I understood to be the leadership agreement. I do think the Senate position was the right position. I'm disappointed that ultimately the leadership presented some of the new recommendations to this conference committee. And these are obviously items that have been under consideration by the conference committee. There's no surprise to anybody. But I do think that, on balance, Madam Chair, what the conference committee will hopefully put together is, on balance, a very good proposal that does a variety of things, not only for the habitat preservation, but for parks and trails throughout the state of Minnesota. Most importantly, the clean water section, which was the political driver in the 2008 campaign, continues the effort to provide clean water throughout the state. And Madam Chair, you'll recall in the legislative debates relative to this and appropriations over the years that we were going to have clean water eventually, given where the legislature and the administrations had been, maybe in our 150, 175 years. And this amendment allows Minnesota to enjoy clean water far before what would have been allowed absent this amendment. And obviously the fourth article, the Arts and Culture section, will continue to do some significant work until in terms of providing access to Minnesotans from throughout the state. So keep in mind that no legislation is perfect. I'd move adoption of the spreadsheet.
Okay. Senator Ingridson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And just one more comment. I certainly want to thank the chairs for the work they've done here. And I also, you know, I think, you know, it's not all doom and gloom when it comes from me either. There are portions of the bill that I certainly, the spreadsheet that I do agree with, the 40-40-20 split. I certainly agree with that. I think that was a good decision. I think that was a Senate position. However, I'm not very. I understand that they're very descriptive for the metropolitan parks as well as the rural parks. I don't know that the legislature should get into that, quite frankly, when you're going to have those commissions together. I wouldn't want to tell the metro parks where to spend their money any more than we should tell the rural ones. So I don't like that part, but I do like the portion, the split. I think that's something that was agreed upon. And in general, the clean water, other than the, you know, the monitoring, the agricultural piece, and then I talked to the chair about that, my chair about that, and it was sought at very, very hard by administration, and I don't necessarily agree with that, but overall, I think that was very good. In the arts and humanities portion, it appears to be, I think, very satisfactory as well. So, again, I appreciate the work that Senator Cohen has done here. I also appreciate the fact that he wasn't part of the process at the end, negotiations, and I'm kind of taken aback by Governor Dayton's comment saying that he was going to go with the Lessard-Sams recommendation as well as the rural, not necessarily the rural, but the good work that was done this summer with the 40-40-20. Even though we did do that, we didn't do the verbiage. So, again, it wasn't all doom and gloom, Madam Chair. I do agree with part of it. And, again, I appreciate all the work. And pains everybody's gotten through the last couple of days.
Okay. Any other comments from members?
Yeah.
No. Okay. Well, now, you've heard the motion of Senator Cohen. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
Okay. Motion passes. Okay. Now,
I think there's a sheet.
Well, the people have been working on the language. We certainly haven't seen the language in a formal, you know, we've gone over it thoroughly, I think, in the various committee meetings. We haven't seen the language in its formal place yet, and so I think we're going to have to wait until tomorrow, tomorrow, the next legislative day, to look at the language and adopt the language. And we're pretty confident, if we don't have extended debate, that we will get a bill out this session. Senator Ingridson?
Madam Chair, thank you. And if you're not going to do any discussion on language, then is that what you're saying? Or I do have one area of concern here, that we do have some people here that could testify, but that's
okay.
Fine. If you want to wait till
no.
That's fine. It would be the very last.
Particularly if there are people, I think they're perfectly
sure.
Willing
yeah.
to.
It would be the very
Cohen?
Last page.
Yeah.
The
okay.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair.
Senator Cohen?
And Madam Chair, I would suggest that's a very good suggestion by Senator Engelbertson, that if there's testimony suggested, let's do it now, and then during the night work on the language.
Yeah. Okay. Senator Ingridson. Specifically, so.
Madam Chair, thank you. I'm referring to the Article 1. Page 30, right to the very last page, House language, acquisition of lands and interest in lands, commissioner approval and appraisals. I'm wondering, I do have somebody that would testify to that, if I could have them come forward, and maybe also a representative from the DNR if they'd like to I see Mr. Myers is here. If you'd like to comment on this or... Madam Chair, I don't recall whether we did we go through the side by side and is it still in there or not, I guess.
It's not in.
Oh, it's gone? Oh, I'm sorry. I guess I'm wasting my time then. I'm sorry. I guess it is no longer in the side by side.
Madam Chair, Senator Ingerbritz, it was my understanding that none of the statutory language for Lessard and Sams would be in the conference report.
Madam Chair, it's been a pleasure, Senator. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. I appreciate it. My apologies, Madam Chair.
No. Okay. That was actually the motion that we've been with staff report. Okay. Anyone else?
You got to watch out.
Okay.
I know that. Oh, okay.
Well, I think we probably won't have this until, I don't know how long we're going. Still doing some of these bills that you spent a lot of time on, plus the ones, you'll get the ones that we're spending all this time. And so what, even though I still have the chair at this point, what are your plans for tomorrow for the chair?
Well, Madam Chair, what I'd like to suggest with the group of us here, the expectation is we'll be around for a good part of the night, morning. I'm going to suggest, I hope, for instance, there's one piece of language I just saw that I have some concerns about. And so I'm going to suggest that if the staffs of House and Senate can work together over the next hour or so, or whatever time it might take, to put together all the proposed language, not just Ms. Doyle Fontaine, you showed me a list of language items. Happy to see the list, but to put together the language so that each side can review them over these next 2 or 3 hours. Madam Chair, we can each work with our respective conferees. Then possibly at some point later in the morning, you and I can talk to see where there are differences, see if we can recommend language to the conferees, and then very quickly adopt the language. It's not like we're in a rush or anything, but I'd like to suggest that the conference committee meet again, and I'm going to look for a little bit of advice from staff relative to production of the bill.
Mr. Chair, if you don't mind, or Madam Chair, excuse me, you can see Mr. Mueller's on the parks part is marking up the numbers. Clean water. I know they've been reviewing the arts and cultural heritage. We haven't seen the outdoor heritage yet, but we've got this is all going to go back to the revisor's office as soon as we're done here to start getting the numbers in, a few rearrangements. But we've got most of it together. I would assume the revisor could have it maybe an hour or two, because we're pretty far along in putting things together. It's a long process when you first start it. From this morning, it's like 12 hours. And so we should have something within an hour or two. And we can get a PDF of that and email it to people. In fact, I think, Senator Cohen, your office sent an email to me about also allowing some of the agencies to review some of the language. When we get more finalized, we didn't want to send it out now because the numbers aren't right. Is that...
Well, Madam Chair, but Mr. Knopf, will it be possible to review some of the proposed language that has not been in any draft at this point so we can see what's being discussed or if there are changes to items that are in the side-by-sides? Even if we're not looking at the actual proposed draft of the conference committee report, is that possible to... I have counsel prepare that for us.
Well, I think we'll get another draft, I'm sure Senator Cohen, in about an hour or two, and we can definitely forward that on to you.
Okay. Well, let me suggest that you forward it on to all conferees.
All the conferees.
All 10 conferees.
And, Madam Chair, Senator Cohen, would that include some of the agency folks, too, that have been working on it?
Okay. Yes. And then Mr. Knopf, how long will it take, assuming we meet and then we process those changes and accept those changes, how long then to prepare the final conference committee report for signature?
Well, Madam Chair, Senator Cohen, unless there are a lot of changes, I don't expect. So are you thinking then in the morning we would take up that draft conference report and then make changes to that and then send it back to the advisor for the final? And then you would approve the changes?
Possibly.
Depending on the number of changes, it can be just a matter of an hour, And without the 12-hour rule, the House can take it up as soon as the signatures are on and it's posted.
Well, Madam Chair, I would suggest we meet then at 8 o'clock. And that would, let's assume, you've talked about an hour, Mr. Knopf. Let's assume then, let's run it off to the closest 2 hours. And make sure we've got the time to produce this thing and the time tomorrow night.
I thought we had already agreed on what language that was in the bill. Oh. But we've certainly reviewed it. The only thing I can remember is the Tomasoni solar amendment, which went into some other bill. I think we were accepting that. I don't know what other.
And then, Madam Chair, it might be a very quick process. Okay. I know there's at least one piece of language that I just saw before the meeting started that I have not agreed to.
Okay.
And I haven't had a chance to review the rest of it. So my intent would not be to surprise anybody, but that's why I'm suggesting if we could make sure that everybody gets copies of proposed language and our staffs can... our personal staffs can facilitate that during the night. You and I can then discuss what the differences might be and see if we can resolve that, Madam Chair, well before the committee meeting.
I'm just a little worried about 8 o'clock as a time.
And what concerns you about 8 o'clock?
Well, it depends what time the sessions end.
I don't know.
Yesterday's session, no, gets hard to know what to call them. Ended at 6:45, for example, for the House.
Well,
And to be fair,
I was with you till about 5:15, so I almost I almost joined you for the duration of the House session.
Well, it's only what?
Does it have to be the next legislative day?
No.
Yes, it does.
What?
Yes.
But that's 7 a.m.
Right.
Yeah.
I was originally thinking maybe, who knows, 7 a.m., but I decided to, be helpful. That's why I decided.
8.
Do you want to say 8:30?
How about 10?
No.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, maybe we'll still be on the floor at 7. We should just come here at 7 if we're still
on
the floor.
Right. Right. Exactly. It could be quite easy then.
Yeah. Well.
Some of us didn't get a nap. I'm just kidding.
No.
You guys can all go home.
You got it. Right here in your chair.
Well.
And what'll be fun is we have some newer members of the legislature in the conference committee, they can get a taste for what you and I have discussed as being the good old days.
When we didn't have silly things like stopping at 1.
What do you want to suggest?
Make a motion.
Go to the call of the chair, that's all.
Go to the call of the chair. Well,
we'd like to say, follow the chair and watch emails for it, and thinking about 8, okay? Does that work?
And that's fine, but members should expect call the chair will in all likelihood be earlier as opposed to later. It won't be at 7, but it's not going to be 11 o'clock or anything like that.
Okay, and thinking about 8.
Yes.
Call of the chair.
Call the chair.
Just in case there's some screw-up with getting things out. And so.
Okay. So, Matt.
Senator Ingersoll.
Oh, Chairman, I just may. I guess I don't have to remind a good senator
Chair Cohen and yourself that we do not have that much time left. And we've got a lot of bills left to get done, so I think the earlier the better here. I certainly would not like to see this come to the end here and end up in a special session or anything like that. I don't think that would bode well for the leadership. That's correct. And I don't think the citizens want us to be going overtime here.
Ma'am, sure. I think Senator Ingebrigtsen's point is well taken, but we should keep in mind, as important as this bill is, this bill does not run state government. If we adjourn and there's no bill, I can't speak for the governor, obviously, but I'd be surprised if there was a special session only because of this bill. So that behooves us to start meeting earlier as opposed to later.
Right.
And
I think the suggestion, though, Senator Cohen, of the call of the chair,
yes,
thinking about 8 works.
Yep.